Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show, and we are viewer-supported stations, folks. So if you like what we're doing at these networks, please hit the donate button. And thanks to my producer, Steve Roberts, for everything he's doing for me today. I had one guest just actually not show up here today, guys, and that's kind of a rarity for me. They're usually pretty reliable, but all that being said, I got on the phone here for about 30 seconds before the show started, and Rick Bob and Derek Story have been gracious enough to fill in for my guest that didn't show. Actually, there were some really cool things that these gentlemen did today to bring public attention to what's going on in our government. Welcome to our show, guys. And just before the show started, the links have been coming through to me, and these gentlemen aren't actually aware of what's gone on in Ottawa and Scheer's press conference today, but apparently Justin Trudeau had his lawyer send a letter to Andrew Scheer, our leader of our opposition, threatening to sue him for information being exposed about Trudeau and the SNC-Lavalin scandal. This is absolutely beyond anything I thought I'd ever hear coming out of government in my country, guys. And I know you guys haven't seen the press conference. You got to go watch it.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Annie sitting in chat, actually. I sent her a link on it. And I know she watched it before the show started. And I'll tell you, guys, when you think it's getting insane in Ottawa, insanity is running rampant.
Very rampant.
Oh, it's just nuts, man. I cannot believe this guy. I just cannot believe.
He's shaking in his socks.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, you know, when good is evil and evil is good, you know, now criminals are trying to use the law to defend themselves against being exposed.
This is absolutely anybody that's been following what's going on in Canada here in the last couple of months. Trudeau made a statement in the House of Commons the other day, and of course, there's an old saying, when you tell a lie and you tell enough of them, you have a tendency to forget what you said. Mm-hmm. And he had a major, major
one lie equals 100.
Well, yeah, and your lies will always find you out. And Trudeau made a statement this week in the House of Commons that has absolutely slammed the Canadian public into absolutely realizing just how much of a, I can say this word, liar. They can't say it in the House of Commons, but how much of a liar this guy is when he said that he'd never been approached by Joey Wilson on the issue of SNC-Lavalin, and yet we find out in his own statements that he was approached 3 or 4 months prior to making that statement multiple times. Not just once, but this is the one that's been exposed. And boy, I'll tell you guys, Canada is in a very, very, very bad state right now. This kind of stuff is going on right now, Rick. The whole country should be screaming at the top of their lungs, yet we still hear crickets out of a lot of the Canadian population. That disturbs me. Go ahead.
They're all being lulled to sleep after their hard day's work with media. Well, with so-called media. You know, it's like, for example, I mean, it's making our jobs very, very easy. It's not like we have to search out for, you know, crimes or wrongdoings, unethical standards.
Crimes happen every time we go out.
Every new day brings a new project for us.
Tell them what you did this week to Trudeau's speech, man.
Drowned it out.
So we've been, obviously anybody who's been following us knows that we've been in Toronto for about 3 weeks, doing some work with Sandra Solomon, doing some work with Kevin Johnson and other people, and making, you know, creating our own events, doing some overpass work,
some flash rallies and stuff like that. Then the other day, so
Friday, we get a call or we get a text from Guy Annibal, one of our fellow patriots in Ottawa, and he notifies us that Trudeau is going to be with Tory to announce this big community housing budget, this $1.3 billion in funds.
In renovations and stuff like that.
In renovations, and how basically all benefits, all upgrades to these houses are primarily for minorities and irregulars, he likes to call
newcomers.
Them. Newcomers. So one more example of, you know, Canadians coming last when it comes to the Trudeau's coffers. So with a couple hours notice, we were staying with these great group of guys. They're street preachers, preacher.
Yeah,
preacher
they're
Phil
with
and John.
Yeah, the
and we had been staying with them. So they helped us to get out there. We made every call frantically to people that we knew in Toronto that wanted to attend.
For in the last minute, we ended up rallying up enough people to make some noise to drown out the whole speech.
We were relentless. It was a beautiful thing. I think we definitely had Providence. We had God on our side that day. And now I believe it's the third edit Global News has had to go back in their footage and tweak the audio so poorly. Anybody that knows editing programs and has that ear for audio reduction, noise filtering,
you'll pick it right up.
When you come back, we're barely audible. But you can tell that they really had to strain to get his words over ours.
Yeah. So I kind of took the global feed, my live feed of Rick's video, and I mixed it all together. It's just exporting right now. So you get to see the full picture.
That video has gone viral, guys.
Oh, I know.
It has. It is just incredible what you guys did. And I think that everywhere that Trudeau's going now, we should see the same response, because
I inspire people to do so.
Well, yeah, it's a perfect example of how you don't need build up. You don't need 3 months build up for a convoy. You don't need 30,000 people to make a difference to get people to take note. 4 or 5 people in the opportune time and the right actions can get it done.
It also helped that we're maybe like 15 feet away from the podium.
Yeah.
And the cops didn't stop you from doing it. That's what kind of really blew me away. You think that Tory was
on public grounds.
Yeah, I know. But it was awesome.
As soon as we started razzing Tory for his criminal tweet, incitement to violence, by his brown shirts Antifa, the instant after that, we were told to get on public property. So we kind of said, hey, we're journalists. Why are we, not allowed? And they are. But we knew that was going to happen. But stupid, whoever his campaign manager is, or, his PR people, they put the platform 10 feet away from the sidewalk.
Wow.
So we were right there, bullhorn and everything.
Talk about like a sign. It's just like the truck convoy, like we told you before, how we ended up right at the gate.
Right in the perfect position.
It just lands on our lap.
So you guys have also got a situation going with the Toronto Police right now. What's going on with that?
We do. Well, we're still waiting. They said it was probably going to be a couple of weeks, and Division 33 is going to transfer it to some detectives. So that's why for the past 3-4 days we've been pushing. We have a dedicated website called takedownantifa@gmail.com, spelled as it sounds, and we've got about 50, I think.
Yeah, we got about 50
testimonials, victim statements
from across Canada.
And we want everybody who's been affected by Antifa, in no matter large or small, if you've been attacked, physically assaulted,
followed,
or simply if you've been intimidated to come out and exercise your free speech rights. We want your victim statement.
That's going on everywhere, guys. It is.
It's everywhere. Even in the States, too. It's in different parts of the world.
But well, getting them labeled as a domestic terrorist or hate group will get them defunded. It'll stop the money from the unions, from the NGOs, from Soros, because basically it'll be a terrorist party. It'll be a domestic terrorist label. And hopefully we can that'll disband them, and we'll be able to have the numbers come out free from oppressive, Nazi-style tactics.
Yeah, I actually watched a video there the other day of a girl that was at a rally in Edmonton.
Yeah, her name was Amanda.
Yeah, and boy, I mean, that was enough. If that doesn't wake people up, I don't know what will, because this girl is actually terrified.
Yeah, I know. I remember her telling the story. She was shaking. She was so affected by it.
Yeah.
Pegida, this is what spawned it. I mean, the whole Pegida rally. We've been used to covering events, in Ottawa. And Ottawa is pretty much everybody works for the government in Ottawa. So
gag orders on everybody.
Nobody wants to come out, and but the cops are really, really well. And Parliament Hill is such an open area, a big area, that they can successfully have us on one side and have Antifa far, far away. Despite that, they still will yell at cops, push at cops. December 11th, I believe, after the UN Migrant Compact.
No, the 8th.
December the 8th.
Yeah.
9 of them were arrested for attacking police officers trying to get in our area. And I mean, the cops know that they're evil. The most of the red pill and general public know that we're not white supremacist groups. We're the political opposition. And if you use use violence against your political opposition, that is terrorism. It's textbook definition. So, yeah, the case file, anybody who wants to take it down, is 2000-2019-574-269. And we told Tory right to his face, we said, we're going after you criminally. And if that doesn't work, well, if it does or if it doesn't, after that, we're going civilly after him.
Well, my question with these guys, because like the way we were heckling them, they had to have been on some mighty strong Xanax to be able to go through with that speech, even though they couldn't, no one can hear them.
Yeah. Trudeau, I was watching his face while he was making the speech, buddy, and you guys really threw him for a loop. You did. It was funny to watch him sit there and squirm. But I feel this guy is
his socks were shaking.
He's going to be doing a lot of squirming here in the next couple of days, gentlemen, because this letter that Scheer just released, and it was just released today, he's had it for a week, but the fact that Trudeau went as far as having his lawyer send the leader of the opposition a letter threatening legal action for exposing information in the House of Commons, where have we gotten to as a country?
That's
so the fact
ridiculous.
That this guy's got the audacity to do that, it just blows my mind. But in the same way, it doesn't. There's no limit to what this guy is going to do right now to hold on to his power. Nothing.
Makes it scary. When stuff scary like this comes out and we're not surprised, it's now common practice.
Well, it tells you how much more of this stuff is going on behind the scenes that we have no insight into.
It's unbelievable.
So much secret to see and everything.
The police state is growing.
Well, yeah, I know. We got M103 about to go through Parliament. Boy, if they get away with that, we really
are. Wow, so it's going to be radical. It's going to go from a bill to a law?
Yeah.
Didn't they just pass a law?
They're pushing it hard, boy. And I'll tell you, when that happens, if we don't see the country stand up and scream at the top of their lungs when a lot of us start getting arrested simply for stating free speech and expressing our views on something I see as the most evil thing in the world, then we know we're really in a lot of trouble. But that's just down the tubes. Now they're looking at taking our guns away. Isn't that great? Yeah. But the good news
is happening so quick, guys. You know, we're wrapping everything up, guys.
It's going through at light speed. They're bringing stuff in. It's absolute draconian. But the good news is, the good news is that Trudeau just obligated us to another $2.7 billion to third world countries to fight climate change. Isn't that great?
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Man, that just made my day today because I just can't imagine those countries not having that money, man.
Well, we have a serious pollution problem in Canada. And we saw it firsthand when all the news vehicles, all the news vans
were
in idle for an hour, hour and a half.
For the whole event.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Mr. Tory, when he was addressing ladies and gentlemen, he misgendered possibly some
a lot of
non-binaries
people
that are in the crowd. He assumed two genders.
Wait a second. Let's get him. Boy, get on my lawyers.
That was true. If we're going to go by law, like Bill Wacock got charged with calling a man.
And $55,000 fine.
We should be able to do the same, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Because for sure there was a transgender or two in that crowd, and he didn't address them properly.
No, not at all.
Can I throw in something real quick here, guys?
Sure thing.
Let me throw in this. At the bottom end of law enforcement, when you look at law enforcement in our country, we now have laws where they can arrest you now for eating, right? They just passed a law where you can eat. So you can't have a coffee probably either. You're not supposed to touch the dial on the radio. So the average citizen now can't even have a fucking coffee in his car. Pardon my language.
What's your language?
I'm getting really hot listening. I have to put this out there. So at the end of the common citizen, they're coming after us for having a coffee in our car. But at the top end, they pass Bill C-75 and 71 that reduces the penalties for child abduction, for going into gangs, and for recruiting terrorism. They reduced all the charges. So while they're reducing charges for all these heavy-duty crimes, right? They're increasing the penalties on the average Canadian. It's absolutely disgusting.
It is.
I've heard one more thing where public workers can enter your house if they have a suspicion of drugs, gangs, whatever. Not even cops. They can come in and do an spot inspection in your house.
I mean, bylaw.
Bylaw, yeah.
Wow.
Bylaw, yeah. They've been doing that with animals with the SPCA in Ontario. They got that one woman a couple of years ago. They actually broke into her house because someone said she had a bunch of cats or something that she wasn't looking after. They actually broke into her friggin' house.
Yes, I know. Gentlemen, I have to step out of here for about 30 seconds for a phone call. Can you guys just please carry on for a minute? I'll be right back.
Yeah, not a problem.
We'll carry on. By the way, it's Jürgen here. Who am I talking? Is that Derek and Rick?
Yeah.
Good to meet you guys. We've been on Facebook together on a couple of different things. I don't know if you remember me. I'm the guy who gave the speech on the back of the pickup truck.
I do.
Yes, I do remember you.
Uh-huh. Had that viral speech, and I was just talking to Mark Friesen today. He's invited me to speak in Saskatoon at a rally in May the 4th, so we'll be going up to Saskatoon for that one. That should be a pretty good Yellow Vest rally.
That's on May the 4th.
Yeah, May the 4th, we're going to Montreal for the Blue Wave.
We're torn because, we were scheduled to go to the Blue Wave in Montreal, but May the 4th is also the next Pegida, and we really, really want to show our support and get the numbers out there so that something that like happened at the last Pegida rally never happens again.
Where's that happening? Where's that at?
That's in Toronto. It's always the same place. It's, I believe, University and Armory.
University and Armory. But, from the last Pegida, I really encourage people to go out there and support these people, man.
You need to. You absolutely need to. Now, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, but one of the speakers at the Pegida rally is now being charged by, I believe, a Muslim counter-protester that was offended. So that's another charge of hate speech.
Wow. They're really coming hard and fast, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's just ramped up so much in the last number of years. It's unbelievable. And I think it all ties into the fact that they never thought she'd lose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they say the devil sends the beast with wrath because he knows the time is short.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And at the same time that Trump has this glorious victory in the U.S., glorious for all patriots across the world, we elect a guy who's so globalist it's beyond compare.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Canadians are waking up, I think, is because
you see the broken promises.
The analogy of the frog in boiling water, Trump has forced Trudeau's hand to turn up the temperature too quickly, and we're jumping out.
Yeah. I think we see a lot of that happen. every day we're picking up new people that have swallowed the red pill. There's no question. Mm-hmm.
We still need
more in the cities, you guys. You know, I'm very disappointed. When I look at the turnout here in Medicine Hat for our rallies, it is compared to the population of this little burg. We get a lot of people that come out. When I think of places like Toronto, Ottawa, and I know Ottawa, I lived there my whole life, and I know they won't go. Everyone works for the government. It's very tough to get 100 people to show up. We tried for decades, being up in the hill with Guy and Shirley Mosley and a whole bunch for years up there, and we could never get people going to the rallies. So it's very disappointing and disconcerting when you see the big cities are not behind our movements. And I know they're filling the cities with these migrants that are going to vote liberal. They're never going to take part in our rallies. They're not going to help us. And that's where all the population is. So how are we going to win if we don't get the population centers behind us? When I see the numbers of the people here in Medicine Hat and in all the small burgs out here that show up to these rallies, even if 5 people show up in a village of 1,000, that means that at least 10,000 should show up in Toronto, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, no,
they
exactly.
Should. I think the geography dynamic in Canada is so different. I mean, not only I think Canadians are complacent a lot. Isn't as bad as it is in Paris. We're about 4 or 5 years behind that, I think. But I mean, if all of flyover Canada lived 2 hours or less away from a Toronto rally, then you would see those numbers, I think.
Yeah, just like if people came down from Pembroke, Cornwall,
the size of France, Perth, right?
All those places, they should be coming out.
Yeah.
So they're a lot more populous. They're a lot more close together to be able to rally like that. That's why we've adopted different tactics. We go to where maximum amount of views are going to be seen. So overpasses, busy intersections.
We're thinking about doing roundabouts, just like circling the roundabout.
Every tactic that you would use in a mayoral campaign, flyers, going door to door.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about having a little town hall just so that residents know exactly what we're about, so that they don't feed into the mainstream crap that a lot of them feed into.
Yeah.
A bunch of redneck racists and all this kind of stuff.
We had a couple of screaming around the corner
at our rally yesterday, and he's screaming out the window, what was it? Not racist, but rednecks, rednecks. And he had his middle finger out, giving us the finger, yelling rednecks. So I screamed out, "You forgot racist."
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they're quick to throw the finger and yell at you, but they won't stop and talk to you, even see what's going on.
Yeah,
exactly. They haven't got a clue what we're about, but they'll criticize. They'll crap all over us.
It's their feel good moment of the day, right? Yeah. They stood up to hate.
Yeah, and they follow the fake news.
Yeah,
so we had a couple of examples on Friday with the Trudeau event, where one man came over and he said, "We're not Canadians." And another woman with her kid, sadly enough, her 5-year-old kid approximately, looked over and pointed and said, "Look, sweetie, they're the yellow vest racists."
No way.
I think that's child abuse. I really do.
Whiz. Wow.
You shouldn't be teaching your kids that kind of stuff.
Can you gentlemen hear me?
It's really sad.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I've been having computer problems all day, folks, so bear with me.
Mm. Well, the other thing I want to point out when it comes to the next generations, it was Friday, I believe,
the walkout
happened the same day in schools in Ontario over education cuts.
We managed to find two kids, school kids. We asked them, "What's this all about?"
We talked off camera. And had a civil conversation, and you talked about divide and conquer and how you can't trust everything you see on news. And it was good when we were close to a group of them, because I think their handler saw us and said, "Back in the school," like right away. Because as soon as they saw a camera, I'm wearing the yellow vest. I mean, so the programming must not be working. They all cheered. They loved the fact that they were on camera. So
say Barry.
Yeah. Barry. So, I mean, they're political pawns. And another thing that we noticed when we discovered that Antifa was not only where Antifa was intercepting, embedding themselves in yellow vest pages, Mindy is very good at Antifa hunting. So she's exposed a lot and blocked a lot of them. So anybody who wants to get some information on how to cleanse their social networks of these infiltrators, you should reach out to Mindy.
Barry.
But anyway, so some of the other things that Antifa are doing when they're not after us, they have Marxist.ca, and they have
Fight Back.
And Fight Back was one of the sponsors or promoters of the school walkout. So why are, these questions need to be answered to these unions. Why are you funding Marxist Nazi brown shirts?
Jürgen.
Like, it's thuggery.
To be around your children.
Barry, Jürgen.
Wow.
Barry, I just want to remind everyone, please watch your P's and Q's. There are children listening all the time, everywhere,
both in
Europe and America.
I know there's a lot of passion in Canada. You really try and walk away from.
Just watch the language, yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll forgive your lunch, but twice we'll slap your wrist.
Might have to get a swear jar out.
I know there's a lot of passion in here, and I honestly, a lot of times, I want to just scream at the top of my lungs. We're all feeling it right now. Anybody that's paying attention to anything that's going on in Canada right now, we're beyond ourselves and what we can do to stop what's going on.
Let me advise your viewers, if you feel that way, if you feel the passion and you feel the heartbreak at where our country is right now, get out to one of these events. Be somewhat professional, be passionate, don't swear, give him facts. Nail Trudeau, nail these politicians with facts of their criminality, of their allegiances to the UN, everything. Just slaughter them with facts.
And just show up. You don't have to wear a mask.
We're still euphoric. Like, we're still just on a spiritual high from having done that. It was a glorious day.
Yeah, to be able to look at the leader's face and say he's not doing a good job.
And it empowers us to keep doing this day after day.
Yeah, no, that was...
Get out there. It's a stress reliever. Go expose a politician.
You'd be with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. No, you inspired a lot of people with that, folks. You really did.
Yeah, that's the goal.
That's our goal.
You showed people what just two individuals standing on a corner can actually do, and the fact that CBC had it on the air, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Something else.
We wish we would have caught the stuff live, but yeah, we just have to go on. I mean, we did see the global and the original cut. You could not hear him. So that, like I said, I think this is the third edit where they've gone back and adjusted the audio.
Right.
Because he even did a retraction. He said this is to change the thing. He said initially drowned out, and then you'd have to go to the article, but it's right in black and white on the bottom of the post, the picture. And it says something about it. They weren't drowned out. They just disrupted, mildly disrupted or something like that.
Yeah.
And then another, I think it was CTV, said, no, don't call me on that because it's one of the main, the fake news. They said protesters both left and right.
Wow.
And that's false. That's false. There were no lefties there.
Right. Well, they're all standing around Trudeau.
What do you mean? Yeah, I wasn't. But no, it was me and Derek and Ed. He's a great member of Northern Guard and C3 and a Yellow Vester and Gus and three of the street preachers. Mark, sorry. Well, I'm not going to give their names.
Yeah.
They don't know them. I'm not giving them. Right. Because we're always monitored by these people. So,
right. Yeah, I see a lot of infighting amongst groups, guys. So we really kind of got to get out the good apples and the bad apples and separate.
Yeah, I think it's getting easier. I think it's getting easier year after year. The skin gets thicker and the timeline gets shorter because of these leaders, these globalists. So no, I don't think it's minor speed bumps right now. You focus on the goal.
Yeah, us Canadians are tired of the bad apples.
I'm going this way. This is how I think that. Is a good course of action. If you don't like it, then sit on the sidelines or make your own action.
Yeah, and we all have our own specialties that we can offer to the entire movement. That's why there's no real leaders. There's only spokespeople. There are people that represent ideas and represent a human movement. This is the real organic movement that we're involved in. No political leader or no guy can come up and start a party and claim it's organic. What we are doing is organic. We are the organic movement.
It cannot be political in this movement
right
at
now,
all.
Right now, it's like a smoldering brush fire and events, you know, opportunities, successes that we get, like the Trudeau thing on Friday. Yeah. That's when, you know, suddenly, you know, you get a few more sparks and the fire comes up.
That's right.
Like, you know, people know the support, the whole movement, both in front and behind the camera, the support is there. I just want to thank everybody.
Yeah, thank you from
that's either donated or put us up or given us rides, fed us. All of it counts. All of it allows us to keep doing this and to grow and to bring in more people. We're looking at getting Carl Fleury here in the next 2-3 weeks. The preachers are going to come up for March for Life. So lots of stuff spring and summer coming up.
Yeah, there's no backing down now. Once you stick your toes in, you jump in all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be lots of happenings in I'm excited to see what's happening in Saskatoon. There'll be a lot of activities out west, that's for sure. I know Jay and Pat are riding around this province and Saskatchewan, having town hall meetings everywhere, getting people, woke up.
And the town hall meetings are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, man. I mean, I see incredible movements in the West, but, you know, really kind of disturbs me that when we're having rallies in places like Toronto that more Canadians aren't showing up. It's just really kind of, it's a sign of how apathetic Canadians are, but hopefully that changes in the next little while.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, Barry, is that us communities here, we're rallying, and the numbers that we have in comparison to the population is huge.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Compared to big cities, they should have tens of thousands of people. If we were to take that demographic and apply it nationally, we should have.
Yeah.
And you look at even Montreal, there's nobody protesting. So, you know, how are we going to get the masses on our side if we don't get the people in the city on our side?
I think we need help from the U.S. We need U.S. patriots to come up and help us with our events. I mean, I don't know how many people I've spoken with where they've tried to get the ear of Donald Trump. We're doing another Roxham thing this summer, I believe, with Faith. And I mean, I even said that last event to all the reporters. I said, what a sorry state when you've got two indigenous journalists contemplating asylum in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they should be ashamed of themselves.
I'd like to go down there, too, because, I mean, it's like it or not, but I'd trade you Trump and Trudeau any day.
Well, and it's smart for Trump strategically in the future. He doesn't want a socialist, communist Canada sharing the world's longest undefended border.
Yeah, the Soviet Union of Canada. He doesn't want that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. If Canadians realize just how many terrorist cells are right now in Canada waiting to go to work, it would shock them. Because when you have the government playing cover for these organizations, you're not even hearing about it. To think that they're not out there. And, of course, you know, that represents a great threat to the United States of America. We'll see what happens if these indictments are actually ever opened, because information I get from people in the States that are really in the know, and a couple gentlemen that I really follow closely, are telling me that Justin Trudeau's names are in those indictments, and if that ever comes out, maybe the whole house of cards will come back.
Well, I heard from a source that I forget when it was, a month ago maybe, a shortened or a vacation down to Florida that he had to quickly return might have been to talk to officials in the U.S.
Well, then, guys. And by the way, Jürgen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Barry. Yeah, I'm glad to have met Rick and Derek. It's awesome. You see them on Facebook. Well,
first time you got to talk to them, Jürgen.
That's great. We're all on the same page. We're fighting for Canada, and we're all PO'd. Every one of us knows what's going on. We know that the globalists have taken over and that there's a major push for them. But I think, like Derek and Rick were saying, we're winning. Every day we're red-pilling more people. I don't think the opposite is true. I think now that Trump has decided that he's going to basically legislate freedom of speech in the universities down there, that's going to change a lot of things. Hopefully it'll change the whole tenure situation with professors so that they can eliminate a lot of these leftists that are in academia, which is where we have to start. Let's face it. Education is the key. We got to get these kids away from being indoctrinated. We got to get back to reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Gender studies and stuff.
Yeah. Take back individual sustainability skills.
And training stories.
You know, how to farm. How to live off the land.
Yeah, exactly right.
Should tell your plants.
With every one of those Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 is driving the people off the land. And at the same time that they tell us all to be energy self-sufficient, they penalize us for being so because we're not paying into the grid, right? Yeah. So it's a big, giant joke. It's on mankind. It really is. For example, taking wood fireplaces and banning them. Imagine, how many years have we burned wood to survive in this cold climate? They're going to say,
I know people have been burning wood since I've been born. That's as far back as I can go.
Yeah.
That's a basic thing we need to survive that they're attacking, not to mention taxing the air we breathe.
Scam. These are no longer sin taxes. They used to go after alcohol and cigarettes, you know, as a sin tax. I'm not sure if they ever did with fast food because of the obesity crisis. But now they're going after necessities like food and fuel.
Yeah, they have to.
The carbon tax is now in effect.
They have the new dietary.
The food guide.
Yeah, the food guide.
That's important. Yeah.
Now meat is going to be a luxury. So maybe, you know, just like Alex Jones predicted, Hunger Games. Maybe on your birthday, if you're a good citizen online and your social score is good enough, you haven't been penalized or, you know, taking your license away because you, you know, did something online they don't like.
Well, maybe if it's citizens that let us have a hamburger once a week, you know?
Pretty sad. Very sad.
If we laugh about it, we'll go insane, guys, because I see it being played out everywhere in our society. Agenda 20 is just – or 2030 is so in our face. And boy, now, I'll tell you, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in Canada here in the next couple of weeks. It really is. Just getting worse and worse and worse for Trudeau. I'm really hoping that he is taken out of power, but that's not really going to solve the problem at all. A speaking head right now, and the whole system, of course, has to be revamped. And second hour, I'm going to talk to a couple gentlemen about that, because I'm looking for answers. We're all looking for answers. Mm-hmm. And we love our country, and we don't want to see it destroyed, but boy, do we see it being destroyed quickly now.
Definitely.
Yeah. And now, of course, I mean, before you called me for this show, we were watching 5G Apocalypse by Sasha Stone, I believe.
Crazy, so, man. Yeah. They're going to put us all in microwaves and tell us it's okay.
Yeah.
This is Chinese. You know where 5G is coming from.
Yeah.
You know it's behind it. Then, of course, we can add into lots of things in that equation if we wanted to go down the rabbit holes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the chemicals are putting into our body and how those chemicals accidentally interact with 5G technology. Amazing. That was just a coincidence, by the way.
Yeah. Huawei is the tip of the spear for Chinese takeover.
It is. It is, exactly. You hit it on the head.
The tip of the spear for a Chinese takeover. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at communications in Canada. They control the message. Well, and what's Huawei? They control the message in China, and what bigger message is there than the Chinese message of communism?
Yeah, well, it's the longest going country right now.
Well, and then what's going to happen is after Europe and North America fall, the only first world countries, then China and Islam are going to have to fight it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That'll be a problem.
I mean, there's huge issues. I heard word of a million Muslims that are being held in camps at the western border.
Yeah.
I think I watched a documentary on it. So, yeah, that worldwide.
I'd love CBC News to really expose some of the things that are going on in France and Germany, but we never get to see that on mainstream in Canada.
Yeah. And
never shown because it doesn't fit.
In the UK, yeah.
And shame on you guys at CBC. And anybody, by the way, that's listening in from the Canadian Secret Intelligence Services or the RCMP or Revenue Canada listening to the show today, welcome to the show, guys.
Because I know welcome. Welcome. We have, on many occasions, we have ex-law enforcement and ex-intelligence that come up to us when we're doing actions. And they have to remain anonymous. But they totally understand what we're trying to stop.
Well, yeah, right. And to think that we're not being listened to, it doesn't matter. Even a little radio show like this is being monitored.
Oh, no. No, you're not supposed to worry about that. It's metadata.
Yeah, it's algorithm.
It's just everything, right? So that you have a file on your life and they can go back like 30, 40 years.
And this guy talked about cheese.
To try and find something compromising about you, right?
How many people are compromised in our government that are being blackmailed to keep their mouth shut?
Yeah.
Tons.
Absolutely. It's just like jumping in somebody in a gang, right? So that they can never go against you.
But the irony of it all, gentlemen, is that these people that think they're doing a good thing for the government and they're on that team, really, when it comes down to it, they're just another pawn, but they're a pawn slightly ahead of you and me.
And
they'll be stomped.
Well, I think a lot of times for them, it's they'd rather be the right hand of the devil than in its way.
Well, yeah, when the time comes, they'll be stomped on just like you and me. They think they're part of the team. They're part of the big team, but they're not. They're being used, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. And I hope that a few of them are listening today, and this makes sense to them.
Barry, you were talking about solutions earlier, and we need solutions. And I'll tell you one solution. I got one solution that will absolutely cripple Ottawa, and that is if one of the leaders of either Manitoba, Saskatchewan, or Alberta – I'm taking BC out of the picture if one of those provinces decided to declare English the official language, it would blow Ottawa to smithereens. It would blow the whole French mafia to smithereens. One of these provinces has to protect the English language, and it goes to what you said before. Once the Chinese do take over, already we're in a situation where Chinese, Arabic is now the number one language of business in the world, followed by Chinese. So we've already dropped from first to third place. And I've been pushing for someone to protect our language in one of these provinces, much like Quebec did for the French language. If we don't, they're telling all these newcomers they don't have to learn either language. So in effect, the only language protected in this country right now is French in the province of Quebec.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you're right.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
One solution is for one of these provinces to stand up to that mafia and say English is our language of business in Alberta or Saskatchewan. One of them has to do it.
Yep.
And it's a solution that could happen right away. It's something that could kick them in the gonads immediately. Immediately.
Yep.
It just changes the game some if they do that.
People in this country have been led to believe that we're all bilingual, which is a complete fabrication lie. It's a total lie. If you take Quebec out of the picture, only 4% of the rest of the country is French speaking. So 96% of us are basically victims to any new language coming in, because if the UN decides that Swahili is going to be the language here, then it's going to be their prerogative in a post-national state, isn't it?
It is. Exactly. What a way to divide society, man. But, of course, that's all being done by design, gentlemen. You know it. I know it.
That's right.
We're talking about communism by design.
We stand up to it through strong legislation by having a backbone.
Right? And, I mean, I don't think anybody disagrees. We need to defund the CBC. I mean, think about that money. I mean, that money, if we kept it in place as an expense for 2 or 3 more years, but it gave us free dental or something, or, you know, I have to explore it further, but, you know, the get rid of the chiefs.
I find it's a waste of money because I don't watch fake news.
Oh, no, neither do I.
You know what? I have to listen to them once in a while just to hear what the enemy is saying and what they're putting out.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like to listen to it, but I force myself to listen to it.
I listen to it, too, but I put my earmuffs on.
Or watch it with something else.
Yeah.
Well, this we could talk here, guys, for hours right now about what's going on.
I know. There's so much to talk about, so much to wake people up with.
Well, I'm going to have to check out this, speech that Scheer talked. So it's online. It's an actual speech from Scheer about the letter, threat to be sued.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It really is. Wow. The prime minister would stoop to that level, folks. What we're talking about right now is an absolute.
I think it might be forced dictatorship.
Well, okay, I'd like to reach out to your viewers again. And right now we're in Ottawa. We're planning a Montreal thing. We'll be back in Toronto in less than a month. But if you get word of Trudeau doing a public event, an outside event in those cities when we're there, you can reach me at rickboswick@outlook.com.
And DerekStory85@gmail.com.
Bring us your news tips.
There you go. And also you can contact me on Facebook at Against the Grain News You're Not Supposed to Know. If you have any news articles that you find interesting, join up. Send us those news articles.
I like that page. I share to that page.
We screen every contributor. I've taken 5 years to build up the contributors to that page. And, boy, we get some good stuff coming in every day. So
yeah, you just another suggestion, too, to social media, you know, aficionados, is that you want to avoid iPetitions. I've had problems with a couple of Facebook jail terms for doing an iPetition against Antifa to have them designated as a terrorist group. So I'm not touching that anymore. And try not to type anything yellow vests. Just say YV.
Yeah. Always use YV.
It's been hard to get a word in edgewise this hour, guys, but I'm not complaining because I love hearing you guys go back and forth. It's really good to be in with a group of guys that really understand the peril that our country's in right now.
Yes.
And, I have children, and you know, we all have children and grandchildren. And
it's better than just talking to a brick wall, eh?
This is no game, yeah.
Well, it is, and we're here because we really, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts, care. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And Rick and Derek, right now, folks, they're sticking their neck out. There's people out there in this country, and I'm not going over the line saying this, that would really wish these people great bodily harm for what they're doing. So I applaud your courage, guys, for what you're doing. And
thank you.
An example, what two guys with a microphone can actually do to waken people up to what's really going on in this country. Because our time is short. I believe the window of opportunity is going to close in the very near future. Honestly, believe that. So
we're gonna keep pushing until that door closes, or we kick it open. One of the two.
Yeah, someone's got to win this battle, either them or us.
There's no give up in us guys. I mean, it's in our DNA. We're the kind of people that, you know, you could take a week or two off, but then you say, geez, I got to get back in the fight. Just can't, right? It's in your blood. You can't. Mm-hmm.
You can't unlearn. You can't go back into the matrix.
You can't go back to sleep.
No. And we all have a role to play. And whatever role it is, do the best you can with that role that you're meant to play. That's all. That's all you can do. And I keep telling people, if you're not going to come out to these events, listen, just come out. Don't wear a yellow vest. It doesn't matter. You don't have to wear a yellow vest, okay? And you don't have to even come out. Drive by and honk your freaking horn in approval. Yeah, yeah. That helps.
Well, bring some coffee. Just
bring some coffee. Bring some donuts. You know, bring a steak. That'd be good. Like,
yeah, enjoy while it's here.
And something that this is a big thing to ask. Canadians, but sometimes when you see a yellow vest or any protest on an overpass and traffic is slowing down, maybe just stop it for 2 minutes. Maybe just roll to a stop for a couple minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. Let everyone see.
Yeah,
check the signs. Yeah.
That wave in traffic will last the rest of the night.
Yeah. I call up to the Patriots in Ontario and Quebec to get out and start supporting these guys. Because it really is pathetic, the turnouts we're seeing in the population centers of Canada.
So, yeah. Well, we've got high population in these provinces. There's no excuse for this.
There is no, especially now that it's warm and it's, you know, it's jacket season. Yeah, there is no excuse. So, one thing I got to mention before our time runs out. So, on July 20th, it looks really exciting. We have Canadians for Canada Rally Part 2 with C3.
And breaking the chains.
Breaking the chains. A biker convoy that's coming from out west that they're going to coincide. And also that weekend is the Music Fest for Vets. So, I know all three organizers. They're working together, and we're going to try and be intermediaries. Some ideas for shuttle buses, possibly, to make it easier for anybody who wants to attend.
Nice.
I'm counting the sleeps, guys, because you know I'm coming back east for that one.
Yeah, I know.
Can't wait.
And I've got a few things to say to Canadians, and I've been invited to talk. So I'm looking forward to that.
Way to go. We all got to do our part, and it's coast to coast. I'm loving this, you guys. I'm loving this.
Well, the guy that's usually going to get on the back of a pickup truck and have a video go, how many people have listened to that now?
Oh, my 583,000 views, and I've reached 1,000,002.
Nice.
There you go. And once things start to rev up again and more people start to go to rallies, it'll start circulating again, and more will see it. So
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of one of the first speeches, I think, when we started this whole thing, and I'm pretty proud of it. I mean, look what's happening. I'm happy. I'm happy to be able to join up with like-minded Canadians who care about this country and care about the future of it.
Yeah.
Don't fall into the collective bullshit we've been fed for the last 40, 50 years.
Fuck your language.
Sorry.
A quarter in a swear jar.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm all the kids out there, I apologize. I shouldn't be using my potty mouth.
Well, I hope there are kids. I hope there are kids watching because
they need to learn.
We're doing it for them. We're doing it selflessly for them to try and provide a better future for them. Because then we got it.
Yeah, exactly. This trade is
multi-generational, right? Like, you know, usually most people, they get the 70-year mindset of their lifespan. But it's incremental, generation after generation. If you woke up your great-grandparents and showed them the world today, big flip.
Yeah, they'd probably say, bury me again.
Yeah.
They'd really ruin the grave. Listen, guys, we're down to the last couple minutes. I apologize to people over in Shake and Wake for the couple slips today. I know Jurgen doesn't feel good about that, but we are very passionate, and I apologize again. But anyways, guys, last minute here, you want to say quick closing, and they're going to close it up for the hour. And I'm going to take a two-minute break, and I'll be back with Jesse James and Craig McMillan. We're going to talk about pension fraud. That's absolutely rampant right now, issues that need to be brought ahead. Quick words for you guys for a minute.
Okay, so like I encourage you guys to check out the Trudeau videos from Friday. You can check it out on my Facebook page at Derek Story or Noble Savages, and on YouTube at Noble Savages.
And for me, it's Facts versus Feelings on both YouTube and Facebook. And a couple more events. There is a event I believe Sandra's putting on the 14th of this month, and you're going to have to check Facebook, but basically it's a vigil to the Christians in Nigeria, and there's a Marissa Shen vigil tomorrow on the Hill that will
Tori Stafford.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Tori Stafford on the Hill, so we'll bring you footage of that. And we still have Yellow Vests yesterday that we're cutting, so lots more to come.
Hey, thanks for the work. That was awesome. Thanks for joining me. Jürgen?
Yeah, last word here. Next Saturday, we'll have another rally here in Medicine Hat. We do every Saturday. Again, you can catch me on my Facebook page, Against the Grain News You're Not Supposed to Know. I'd like you to join up. See a lot of interesting articles. Also, Prairie Patriot 1949 is my YouTube channel. I'm starting up a YouTube thing, so... there's not much on there now, but we'll get her going. I urge all people, you know, you don't have to come out, but help the people that are going out. Do something. Honk your horn. Bring some donuts. Bring some coffee. Do something.
Share the information, the raw information that we give you, too.
Yeah,
share and everybody it. Else.
That's exactly. Thanks, Barry, for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Barry.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. And I know we could go for another couple hours right now. We haven't hit on half the issues going on in Canada. But thanks, Rick and Derek, for joining me on short notice. And Jürgen, always great to have you in. I'm going to take a break now for a couple minutes, bathroom break. And I'll be back with a couple cool guys going to talk about some pretty incredible stuff going on right now in Canada. Back in about 3-4 minutes. Welcome back to the second hour, folks. And thanks again to Jürgen Wallrath and my other guest the first hour. Good conversation, and this hour I'm joined by Jesse James. Where he ever got that name? Sounds like part of the James gang, but I assure you he's not. And Greg McMillan, and Greg is currently in jail right now talking to us on a cell phone, if you believe it or not. And he's going to tell you guys why he is in jail. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Well, my name's Craig McMillan. I've been a plumber and a pipe fitter for 33 years. I'm 52 years old, and at this stage of the game in Saskatchewan, the labor and our livelihood in the building trades is disappearing. We're down to less than 10% of the work. There's a couple of reasons. One of them is the New West Partnership Trade Agreement, but that was where we're at there with that. So our livelihood's going down the tubes. I'm 52, and at 55, you're stuck in a so-called target benefit pension or target benefit plan. And we knew about this last year, and I began to consider taking all my money out of this scam going. I call it a Ponzi scam. With 33 years, I've contributed about $290,000 into it. And they say that I have $425,000, which is our business manager, Bill Peters, and Tom Stuffield, CEO of Global Benefits from Toronto. So I decided, you know, time to do it, time to move on. The Union Hall is well bought and paid for in the building trades, and especially our hall. We have Bill Peters, our business manager, is illiterate, and he's cutting deals with the government on the pension plan during his campaign to give raises out to people that are close to 55, 54, three, all the way. Anybody retired after 55 is going to get huge raises. So I knew 10 months before the election even started that he was making deals with the government. I knew we were going to be in trouble. And we were. I ran again for business manager for the second time in 4 years. And out of 1,500 ballots, 500 members voted, and I had 80. Troy Knippel, a business manager between 2009 and 14, that Bill took over 2014, but he ended up getting 90 votes and another couple. But anyways, it was, you know, we had more and more people paying attention, but obviously not near enough even to vote. So at that stage, we had a couple of more meetings at the beginning of, I was dealing with at the beginning after that election in 2017, end of it, Christmas. I got more involved in January with the building trades business manager. His name is Dion Malakoff. So we're going through all the reasons why the building trades aren't working and what we got to do to save it, including the scam going with the pension plans, fully endorsing everything that I said on my platform and my campaign. And he has another story. He bowed out. After I started actually doing what we said we were going to do and pressure Bill on these questions, he said he doesn't represent me anymore. So that's where, and I ended up walking in a meeting with those people by chance in the building trades office on Ulster here in Regina. And as I was exposing their mess, which is real easy to do, I walked in, the door opened, the next thing you know, there they were talking about me, 14 business managers and 14 or 15 federal and government officials, and they're discussing what to do with me. And for the last year, I've been giving Bill a chance. You pay me my $425,000, and I'll be done. I'll sign my resignation form out of this association, and I'm finished. But, yeah, he didn't want to play by the – he didn't want to do that. He wanted me to be remain a member, so I continue to be a member and work. Except we haven't worked now in 6 months, a lot of us. A few guys are working at the co-op upgrader right now, but other than that, our work is almost – it's almost non-existent here with the building trade. So I'm pressuring him more and more. Up till October 31st, 2018, Troy Knipple became a spokesman for the unemployed people of Saskatchewan on CBC News and Leader Post. And all they did was talk about procurement and community benefits. So procurement and community benefits, you're lucky if you're a slave. And you get, and that's a benefit. You get to be a slave. They never once mentioned the new West Partnership Trade Agreement that has Saskatchewan now is not under control. They have no control of labor. People from all over, especially these four provinces, especially Alberta, can come in here and work. And a lot of them were not even citizens up till about the last 3-4 years working up at Fort McMurray. So in a way, I don't condemn them, but I congratulate them, because here we are, Canadians, no work, sitting around at home collecting welfare, while people that just got into the country are citizens now of two countries, and they're maneuvering around two or three different provinces working for non-union and CLAC, which, you know, obviously that was another Bill 80 that brought them in, and then the new West Partnership Trade Agreement was the gun, and they shut that off in 2013. That's when the new West Partnership Trade Agreement became law. And nobody in the unions are saying anything about it. And same with the politicians. They're not saying not a word about it here. So that's where I was with that. So I want out of here. And when you got Troy Knipple as the spokesman for the unemployed people of Saskatchewan, this man has made probably $3 million in 10 years. He was laid off for a couple of months. He's normally a foreman. And I'm like, why did Ryan Miley walk into our hall to find Troy Knipple to be the spokesman for the unemployed? And I questioned the NDP on that too. I'm asking him, who sent Ryan Miley, your leader, into our union hall to pick Troy Knipple as the spokesman for the unemployed people of Saskatchewan, and then have the nerve to go on CBC News and lead a post and discuss community benefits and procurement? Even Troy at the union meeting said, oh, I knew this was going to happen. Even Dion Malakoff said,
well, hey, sorry, guys, I'm back, and I apologize for the interruption, but I was interrupted. And I'll tell you, folks, I am getting to experience personally in my life the evils of opiates and what they do to people. And I said, I apologize again. My daughter walked in on me unexpectedly and dropped a bomb on me. But it's good to be back, and we'll continue with our conversation. Gentlemen, I'm back, and you're back, and I don't know where we were when we left, but we'll just continue on with that. Whoever was speaking last.
Okay, let's go back to October 31st, Halloween. And that was when that's what set me off, right? Here we got an ex-business manager of Local 179 acting or representing the unemployed people of Saskatchewan. And I know this man for the last 30 years. I've been a union member for 33. And when he's on the news with the building trades, and you got the Leader Post, the CBC, and they're talking about procurement and community benefits, and they don't mention anything about livelihood. They don't mention anything about a real pension. They don't mention anything about labor and anything about all these contracts that they're signing on behind the closed doors. So that was it. Especially when you don't mention the new West Partnership Trade Agreement, I know right away there's something going on, because when I walk into these unions and into these offices and I talk about the new West Partnership Trade Agreement, they're freaking out. Nobody knows. And I can see why. I read it. And if people get acquainted with it and educated, they'll see what I'm talking about. The kids are going to have a hard time finding work. So I don't have any children, so I'm going after what's left is my pension. And Global Benefits is the they're the ones that look after it, administrate these, our medical and dental, our pension fund, and possibly some others. We don't really know all the details because we never get financial statements in our home. I've never seen one in 33 years, so that's where we're at with the money. So I'm asking for open audits. I'm even asking to pay for them. Three union meetings out of Local 179, Regina, Saskatchewan, and still, even with the members saying, I'll pay to get books open and see where we're at. And it still gets voted down real bad. One meeting in January, we had 130 people, 150 members showed up to that meeting. I was on Facebook trying to get everybody to show up. Everybody showed up, but the only problem was when I asked, and 14, there was, I had 14 questions, but one of them was to ask for an open audit on all funds going to the administrated given to global administrate for the administration of and all local 179 business expenses in our hall, you know, wages, things like that, important things that PEEP members should know. Well, I got turned down 17 to maybe 15. Well, they didn't have time to recount. There's people in there that have a lot to lose, and they stopped the recount. But that meant that 120 union members that went to that meeting during a huge snowstorm had no clue what they were doing there, or they were terrified to even put up their hand amongst the crowd to say, let's open up the books. So here we are, and said that was the same thing happened in January, February. Now we're getting into March, and he's getting nervous about everything that's going on. Bill is, and so March 1st, when I go in there, I have a letter written here to UA Canada and UA Washington, and I tell Bill every time I write him a letter, I get him to look at it, make sure that it's all good, all true, and I get him to sign it. And he likes the fact too that I don't bring video or audio into these meetings. So that was another thing he was happy about. Well, son of a gun, on March 1st, he decided, you know what? I'm not going to look at this letter going to UA Washington in Canada. On February 28th, I phoned Bill, and I said, Bill, I talked to Claudia, the secretary. I said, Claudia, can I come down? She said, no, come tomorrow, around 10. So, okay, I did. I came over. I went to the hall around 10:15, and at that point, I said, 10:15 at the hall there. It was 10:15 when I walked into the door. I came not 10, but 10:15, and Claudia was right there. I walked through the front door because I have direct line of sight into Bill's office, and I don't have no interest. Even though 98% of members go through the back the way that building is designed, I wanted to go through the front because you have a direct sight right into Bill's office, and you don't have to talk to the secretary. You don't have to talk to another member named French Fry, who sounds like he's the one, you know, he's usually greeting you at the door there, and he's a big 350-pound bully. And I don't feel like dealing with him either, so I'm going right straight to Bill's office. But Bill had another member in his office, so I had to be redirected towards Claudia, the secretary. But I went by her, and we said, good morning, and she said, make yourself comfortable. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, make yourself comfortable. So I knew right away, I had to go into this room with French Fry. That's his nickname. Dan Engen is his real name. And I knew right there, here we go. So he asked why I'm here, and I said, because I'm writing letters to UA Canada and Washington. Want to confirm it with Bill. Everything's good. And so he was maybe 1-2 minutes in there, and then the person, his name's Dustin, he was done with that meeting, and he came out with Bill. Walked out with him, but Bill came to the window where you pay your dues between the meeting room and that open room there, big huge, all the secretaries sitting there. So she came right in front of me, and through that open window, he says, mock me, you know, starts laughing at me and mocking me. I'm like, Bill, every time I ask you questions about business, you never want to talk about it. And he was the business manager between 2003, 2004, all the way to 2014. So he's been in that office for a long time dispatching members. But he was never a real businessman. And he always said to me that he would never get in business because that wasn't his. But the only thing is, when Troy Knipple raised his rate to about 300 grand and all kinds of sideline deals, suddenly Bill realizes, you know what? I'm going to be the business manager. And since he knew so many people and he was always dispatching people to work, it worked out perfect for him. So he ended up getting in back in 2014, and he also got back in 2018, got reelected. And
at this point, it's really hard for people to follow the whole story. What I really wanted to get down to today is in short form, because I have Jesse in here, and I want to hear his opinion on this, is why you're actually incarcerated. If you keep that to short point, then I want to pass it on to Jesse here. But like I said, I know that there's a long story involved, but it's really hard for the audience to follow the story when they're not involved. What I really want to expose here, corruption.
Can I interrupt for a sec here? There's a website with all Chris's information on. I posted on the comments of Barry's page and underneath my page. There's a website. You can go look at it. It's got quite a bit of information. It also has a lot of the Facebook comments that proceeded from the beginning to up to the duration when Craig was asked to come in. I'll let Greg explain to you. Greg, so after you proceeded with these people that you were the Union Hall members, you went to CBC News and a few other news networks to put out this information, and nothing happened. You give it to the RCMP, and the RCMP, they contacted you on Friday, March 22nd, and said they wanted to ask you some questions about this, about the information that you have filed with them about doing an investigation. So we
need the Regina City Police on Friday called me to come down and view the file.
Greg, you got to let Jesse finish, okay? This is a conversation.
So I want you, they contacted you on the 22nd to come in on the 23rd to talk about this file that you've launched to do an investigation on what you feel with the Ponzi scheme going on. So go step by step, but slow down. Don't get in a big rampant rage because you're going to lose the viewers because they're going to get confused. So when you went to the RCMP station to...
it's the Regina City Police. We don't even have RCMP here. It's the Regina City Police.
Okay.
That's who's dealing with it.
Okay. Tell us what happened when you got to the RCMP station.
When I got to the Regina City Police Station, Jessica McBride, the officer that was at first on the scene at the Union Hall, she ended up she brought me down there, and she had read the file, and she decided that she didn't care about the white collar crime or any crime going on in the city. She was more concerned about Facebook, and she cuffed me under the Mental Health Act in Saskatchewan. Under that, the Health Act can keep somebody in this hospital for up to 3 weeks. Without very much, just that's the law. I've been trying to get out of here, believe me. And the nurses and everybody on psychiatrists say you got 3 weeks. So right now it's day by day, and they put me in here under the Mental Health Act in Saskatchewan, basically.
So they could do it for 3 weeks. Craig, when you got there, they asked you a few questions, and they never charged you, but they went after you and said, from the beginning they just arrested you, and then they took you down to a psychiatric hospital and have held you without any charges, correct?
Yes, without any charges. And in fact, tomorrow we go to court at 9:30. So that's when it's going to be really interesting, because now there's different evidence here that we've just found out about that they never gave us to begin with when I went down to the prosecutor's office. That was on Friday. This happened March 1st, and disclosure wasn't even ready till March 28th.
So do you feel,
actually, Craig, later than that.
Craig, do you feel that they're trying to silence you with this information?
Well, definitely. They're trying to discredit my character, just like everybody else is doing that wants me in here.
So they're holding you without charges, and they know that the information that you have about the Ponzi scheme, and there's other people that have the information too, showing that there's a clear indication that a lot of money has went missing. How much money has went missing?
So far, we've counted just in our little training fund, our joint training fund, we see over $1 million in very suspicious expenses that we're going to have a hard time explaining.
Okay.
That's the only one we can get, because Saskatchewan Information Services, under the Privacy Act, that's the only one that we could get, because all the rest of them are hitting under different companies and different numbered companies. So that's why I'm hoping this is going to get a little bit bigger, so we can start asking for the audits and the financial statements with our pension. That training fund is only 50 cents an hour. That's
Craig,
50 cents an hour. Yep.
So you went in there. You had some information that you wanted to open up the books so you could eventually look into this deeper. And once they found out that you were getting court orders and contacting the RCMP, that you're going to be the acting investigator on this project, this is when things started to flip-flop, and this is where they want to silence you, because you wanted to open up the books to look at the pension funds, correct?
Yes, exactly. And it's the Regina City Police. It's not the RCMP.
Okay, Regina City Police have confined you. Now, you went through legal. You've contacted lawyers, and the lawyers can't help. Okay, what did the lawyers have to say to you?
Well, it's confusing to them, because when I signed, it wasn't on the accused. It wasn't on the accused. It was on the officer in charge of the file. Now, this is all in debate here, how much merit that really has, that I have never signed anything for any accused for anything, too. That's another issue here that we don't know. Like, what's the judge going to say? Look, if this guy's not even the accused on this undertaking and recognizance. And I talked to the I showed the police this, and they're saying it's a legal document. Now, I don't know how much that's going to help in court or what's going to happen, but that's going to be found out tomorrow, right? Because for sure the judge and the prosecutor have read all this information. And I want to post it on Facebook. Once I get a secretary, I'm going to post everything on Facebook so people can read it. It's real simple reading. There's nothing hard about it. It's easy to understand. Here's a man trying to get his pension before he's 55, and now I'm in the cells and in the loony bin. So, yeah, that's as simple as that. But even my dad at 80 years old is saying that. You mean all they have to do is give you your money and you sign your resignation form? And I said, Dad, I've given them that opportunity for the last year. Wow. Even an 80-year-old man can understand that. You don't even have to.
There's quite a bit here, but the most important thing I think the viewers are probably listening to, Craig, is this. Understanding that you went in to get your pension funds because you're concerned. Yeah. You found that there's quite a bit of
white collar crime, felt, very, very blatantly. Yeah.
So then now you question this, you find the information, you go to proceed with the information, and the union hall members are the main leaders or the union reps are throwing you under the bus. Pretty much what you're saying.
And guess what? I'm also a federal government risk and a provincial government security risk because of that reason.
Okay.
Once you get this all on file, now I'm a union security risk too, all because of all that billions of dollars in the Ponzi scam they got going. And $300 million just happens to be the piping is part of it. Saskatchewan Piping pension. That happens to be one of 500 pensions in Saskatchewan. The pensions added up total in Saskatchewan are about $6.3 billion. That was about 3 years ago, though. So
Craig, we've discussed a few things on the phone, myself, and you talked to a few of the gentlemen from the Union Hall. And where I'm going with this is that you've seen these psychiatrists, you've seen these nurses.
Yeah.
And what do the psychiatrists have to say and the nurses?
Nobody's saying much, and I keep giving them little hints that I'm not bipolar, I'm not depressant, I'm not crazy. Maybe I never knew what I was doing in court. Maybe I have been a little bit boisterous on Facebook when I shouldn't have been, but no, I'm not any of those. They haven't given me a diagnosis yet, Jesse, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you informed us about 2 weeks ago that they told you you either take the medication or they'll inject the medication into you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so I'd rather take it and spit it out, right? You explain it. Yeah, you either take that medication by mouth or they'll inject it by needle. So in the end, I am taking the sleeping pill. I don't like that either, personally. I don't like pills, but I'm not taking the anxiety or the pill that slows you down, maybe, your brain. I'm not all sure what that pill does, but because they think I'm hyper. Well, when I'm talking about this, I might be a little more passionate because it's a big part of my life. I was here for 33 years.
I'm not, you'd probably be passionate on this. I'm not more passionate. I don't think anybody, any of myself personally, I don't think Barry or anybody I know would like to be grabbed, arrested for bringing out evidence that you feel that's threatening other people's livelihoods for their pensions. To bring this
especially
to
in a union hall, especially in a union hall.
So you get abducted.
If you're in a union hall and you can't ask a question in the union hall, any union people, there's 5 million of us in Canada, in this country. If you can't go into your union hall and feel safe, then where are you going to go? How about the cop shop? No, people are more scared of the cop shop too, and they're scared of the union hall together. I can't even find a witness, Jesse. Nobody wants to come with me and do these places. And you know what? I don't blame them.
That's what we're trying to get across here. So, I mean, I was in BC and I was talking to some of the social workers out there, where BC had released thousands of people that need help because they can't maintain their own lifestyle right now through brain injuries or drug addiction or any of these problems they've had for quite a while. And BC government just abandoned them on the streets. You were saying to me that you're in this hospital and there's a lot of people in there that are fine. And it's kind of strange that the real people that need the help are left on the streets. To myself personally, reading UN Agenda 21, they lock up the people that are sane And the Salem Silent is actually the ones working in the lunatic.
Yeah, are they going to come after me next, Jesse? Because I'm speaking? Is that what's going to happen? They're going to label me as a lunatic, stick me in an insane asylum, and fill me full of drugs?
Well, that's the process we're heading into. The people that are sane, that can actually see the problems and issues in this country, are targeted as tinfoil hats, nutcases. But what the real people that are actually insane, that are running the government, they're the ones. So the Salem Silent now has did a flip flop. The sane people that we know what's right and wrong are normal. And I mean, you look at, the two gentlemen earlier you had on the show, Derek and Rick Boswell, amazing, amazing people. I mean, they're seeing this transgression of, they're only young men, they're only 40 some years old. They're seeing the transgression in the de facto Canada, right? In Ontario. And, I've witnessed a lot of their videos with what do you call it? They call them Antifa, whatever you call them. Antifa. Yeah. They're not Antifa. They started in the 1980s in the University of the United States, and they're called Anti-Free First Amendment. And after they found out their Anti-Free movement, or Anti-First Amendment, which is the freedom of speech, they changed their names to Anti-Fascist. Now they're called Antifa, but they're actually called Anti-Free Speech. And I've witnessed them in Edmonton. I've never seen them before. They have no logic. So we have the crazy people that should be put in the hospitals, and Craig should be released. And these people should be medicated, and they should be reintroduced back into society. This is what I'm trying to say.
But Jesse, think about it, though. What are union members? You know, I don't see, like the CBC News, they say, well, we're looking for more of your brothers. Where's your brothers? Like, people are begging for this. People are begging for this. Can you... You know, honestly, like the CBC News states, where are your brothers? If this is such a big issue, why don't you at least have 20 people with you?
Well, the reason I...
You got 1,800 members. Well, where's everybody? How come nobody's saying much?
So, Craig, I feel... I mean, how long is the show on for? Is it 1 hour, Barry?
Yeah, it's for an hour.
Okay, so...
That's 20 minutes left right now.
Okay. So, Craig, I have some stuff I want to say and just mention. During my investigations and a lot of this stuff like this... years back, I worked on a lot of projects. When you came forward with information that was detrimental to the Corporation of Canada, they don't like it. So that's another reason why myself and thousands of sovereigns have researched and looking at a better solution. The solutions that we're looking at are the fact is that Canada is de facto. And the fact is we as people, as citizens, or what do you want to call us, we have no rights. And that's the bottom line. The government can do whatever they want to you.
Well, no, do you think, let's put it this way, Jesse.
Greg, let him finish, please.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. I know that you're enthusiastic and all that, but we have to let Jesse finish his thought, and then we'll let you respond.
So,
okay? Go ahead.
We're trying to organize. Now, it's very hard for me, not myself personally, but we're getting the message out. Canada is de facto. Every province is a country. So when you get a driver's license in Montana, you get a Montana license. When you get a license in Indiana, you get an Indiana license. When you get a license in California, you get a California or Colorado license. Or if you go to Great Britain, you get a license in Great Britain or Ireland, etc. When you get a license in the country of British Columbia, you get a British Columbia driver's license. If I go to Ontario, you get an Ontario driver's license, or the same thing as Northwest Territories. So every country in de facto Canada is very important to understand. I'm going to read something off to you. It's just more enlightenment. So the government in Canada before December of 1931 was not de jure. It was a dictatorship, okay? Very clear on that one. Now, the governor general, he created and controlled the central legislation of the United Colony, and that's in the, you can see the B&A Act in 1867 on that one, okay? Now, when this ended on December 11th, 1931, via the statute of the Westminster, a void was created. No federal authority. The provinces were no longer united as a colony. They became 10 sovereign nations, and were given the ability to create their own de jure federal government. To this day, that has not happened. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit further. There's not much further here on what I'm going with this. So, no de jure government was ever overtaken by a de facto government. We were in a form of status, a condition of balance among various forces, motionless. We were stale, okay? Until 1982, when the liberal regime led by Pierre Elliott Trudeau decided to incorporate and commit treason upon the sovereign people with a maritime incorporation. Now, this part is very important too. The Government of Canada incorporation, this is a de facto government we have today, right? Completely unlawful and illegal. It never took over a de jure government, so how can it be replaced by a de jure government created through law, i.e. grand juries, when no de jure government ever existed? And we'll finish this part here, and we'll get through it. I'll discuss some things here.
Well, Jesse, that's what the Canada Free Trade is and the New West Partnership Trade Agreement.
Let me pause here. There's no free trade. This means they're all crap. So I'm going to get to you here.
Yeah.
We either a dictatorship, or as we are today, a dictatorship. Now, you can see the little child case. If you are voting someone to make changes in this government, it's not going to happen. They're all controlled by a de facto corporation. The lieutenant governor and the governor general will veto anything. It doesn't matter if you get elected. That's the bottom line. So this is what we're leading into. So now, with more and more people understanding, Doug Force and many other great men, you can see them on our de jure page. This is the reason, Greg. So, Greg, when you went to jail, when you were incarcerated, they can hold you as long as they want because you,
yeah, they could.
You as a human being have no rights. After your show a month ago, a man came in. He was confined for 8.5 years in prison without a lawyer, without a judge, until he settled that he would not talk about his case. But this man is fairly old now, and he doesn't really care. And plus, he's left the Corporation of Canada. He's in a different country. But he came forward after your show, Craig. It just shows you more evidence. So I want everybody to understand, Craig's information that he's given you has happened to thousands of whistleblowers that came forward with information to protect other people in the de facto Corporation of Canada. So we are working on every single province, which are countries. So I'll give you an example. There's a page called De Jure Canada. It has a map of Canada. Join it. We have some videos in there, information that's going to help you understand how we're going to fix this problem. And one of the biggest problems we have is educating people that have been indoctrinated that Canada is a country. No, Canada is a government corporation. BC is sovereign, Alberta sovereign, Saskatchewan sovereign, that's sovereign land. So once you understand that we want to start a small, what our objectives are is this. We want to create a constitution. How do we get that constitution? Well, we're going to do what's been proven in the past. The constitution, Iceland did it. So the first step is, so if you're living in Alberta or Saskatchewan, in your local towns and communities, you start creating constitutional committees in each town. Then you start creating charters. Then you start creating constitutional conventions, Then eventually you will create a pre-constitution that will go to the people, and the people in that province will look at this constitution. Most of the people can actually help create this constitution, where it's going to put the people as supreme authority and remove the de facto corporation and put the people to the power. This is our objective, to teach people this. So that's our method. It's been proven in the past. Switzerland did it. Iceland just did it. And the most important thing to the members of the RIC movement, referendums initiated by the citizens, is to understand you cannot ask a de facto corporation to give you RIC. You have to create a constitution. So in the constitution as you're creating it, you can put the RIC into it and the people can ratify it. And once that's in there, you can put accountability in there. There's numerous things you can do, right to bear arms, numerous things that you can do in each of your countries. We're not doing anything different than what the United States did. The United States, like I said, has all these states that are countries. They're called republics. We may build a Canadian republic when we're finished here. So BC, Alberta may be the first one. Saskatchewan, PEI may be the first country to get their sovereign rights and remove the de facto Canada. And this is a big issue because it's about time that we took ownership and stood up to the plate to protect our future and the grandchildren's future, because we cannot continue to go down the path we're going. And you're a good example, Craig. You're not the only person that I know has been detained for paper treason, for speaking the truth. There is no protection for whistleblowers, and many whistleblowers get killed, get shot in the back of the head. Phil Snyder, you know, when he left, was a whistleblower exposing a lot of stuff. He went to his, after he did his speech, he went to his motel room to, you know, rest for the next trip, for the next day, for the next town he was heading to, and he strangled himself to death. You're not the first one. And I'm glad that that we've had communication with you during this ordeal, because you never know what's going to happen with whistleblowers, especially this large a scale that you're involved in. And we appreciate that you had the courage. And like I said, I've posted all Craig's information that we have available now on Barry Prince's page, below it in the comments. I'd like you to read that. Plus, I've also looked at all his Facebook page. It's on there so you can see his Facebook comments back and forth between other union members that are concerned about their pensions too. And anybody have any questions?
Well, you know, Jesse, I'm really just starting to understand it all. One of the problems I've had in life is trying to understand legal jargon. But I've started to do a little bit of research myself into this, and I'm going to commit myself to educating myself fully on this issue. Because I honestly believe that at this point in history right now, if we don't make some radical changes in the way things are going inside our country, we're not going to have a country left.
No, and we're not.
What you're talking about really makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm being quite honest when I said I really haven't started looking into this until the last little while, just like this issue that Greg brought to my attention about the corruption that they see going on. It's all part of the same agenda, doesn't matter where you look.
We have Agenda 21. Another thing, too, is I want people to look up one. It's called The Myth is Canada, Doug Force.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if anybody goes to Myth of Canada, Myth is Canada, you know, we're trying to get this documentary done. He is, too. I'm going to be part of this documentary, and many, many other people that have been working on this are going to be involved in this project. If you can donate $5 to this project so we can get the extra stuff that we need to get this documentary out, and once this documentary is out, it's going to go, we're going to put it in theaters and all types of people. They can take it home, put the DVD in, and they can do whatever. We're going to be able to spread the information to teach more people the solution. How we're going to get rid of the de facto corporation, Canada, and actually take our sovereignty back. Without our sovereignty, we are slaves. And also another gentleman you can watch is Duke Willis. Does shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They're fantastic. Also, you can look up David Force on Facebook. He posts when he's doing shows. Bob Renner, on our Deserve page, make sure you go to the right one. Okay, yeah, make sure you go to the right one. And in that statement I just read earlier about grand juries, there's other people out there trying to do the same thing, and I give them credit, but they're not going the right direction. I'm sorry. You cannot do a grand jury. You cannot create a de facto country from a de facto situation to create another de facto. That's that Freedom 2000. Sorry, that's Freedom 2000. Oh, that's actually the grand jury stuff with Paul Chavon. Please. You can look at his information, but it's not going to get you what you want. Look at the Myth is Canada. And also, Nicola Brasser, she's got that Freedom 2017, that we're 51% shareholder. You go there. She charges you $21, et cetera, to sign her little piece of paper that say that you're going to be the shareholder of Canada. You cannot be a shareholder of Canada. It's impossible, because the corporation that created it in the United Kingdom, and they created it, they own it. That's very important to understand that. Mm. So you didn't create it. It's owned by them. You're not ownership of it. And another thing people need to understand too, the Constitution, they pull off in the B&A Act and say it's a Constitution. It's called the B&A Act, Constitutional Act. If it was a Constitution, it'd be like the United States Constitution, which is under glass. Our Constitution is a photocopy That's the first thing. It's a photocopy. So you just try getting a photocopy driver's license when you get pulled over to the RCMP and see how long that lasts for you. Try to get a photocopy of your visa or your passport and see if that works for you. You try to leave this country to go to a different country. Not going to happen. A photocopy is not a legal document. We have nothing legal. We've been de facto since 1931. And once people understand that, we'll have a chance to actually create a real constitution that puts the people in power, supreme authority, and we won't have to put up with all this acts and statutes they create to enslave us. And that's about what I'm trying to get across here. And Craig, you're just another example of a whistleblower coming forward that has no rights in de facto Canada, and not a lawyer can help you because the lawyer works for the Crown.
Right.
Totally opposite. The lawyer should be working for you to get you out, but the lawyer has to follow the rules of the Crown because that lawyer swore an oath to the Queen and her heirs, what do you want to call it? So his jurisdiction is based on the Crown, not a sovereign person like you, so you have no rights, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, I've listened to Greg talk today, and you don't sound insane to me, Greg. And we're down to the last 4 minutes here. So, Greg, I'm going to get you the last couple thoughts here, and then I'm going to turn to Jesse for his last thoughts, and we're going to have to close up the show. But I want to applaud you for your courage to come forward like this. Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead. You got a last thought you want to throw in here, Greg, to people that are listening today? We're down to the last 4 minutes of the show.
I just can't understand you. I'm having a hard time picking you up.
Well, he asked, do you have anything to say? Because only 4 minutes left in the show, Craig.
No, just keep the faith and try to stay courageous. Try to have courage to question your government, question your union. Don't hold back.
Okay. I'd like to say before I leave is I'd like to thank Steve Roberts for letting me come on the show. I'd like to thank Barry Prince for letting me come on the show. And I'd like to thank Craig, and we're going to get you out of there, brother, because we're all in the same boat. And guess what? It's time we all got together and united in every nation, every country across every country in this de facto Canada to end the slavery and end the lies to protect our children into the future. And thanks again, you gentlemen, for letting me on.
Hey, well, thank you, Jesse, for joining me. And there's people in the audience wanting to know where to find you again. Do you want to just run that by one more time? Because there's quite a few people wanting to know where to find you.
Sure. Jesse James, you can find me on Facebook. De Jure Canada. Make sure you go to the right De Jure Canada. When you go there, it's got a map of Canada. And inside it, you'll see the first post is Doug Force explaining. It's a two-hour documentary explaining the method that we're doing. And below it, you can meet other members. And from that page, you can go to the links. You can join up in the other countries. You can join up in Alberta and work with amazing people there, Neil and numerous other people that are working there to get their constitution created. Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Newfoundland, et cetera, et cetera. Quebec even has a page. In Newfoundland, you can get a hold of Cal Kennedy. He's run the Newfoundland page. He's not running it, but he's helping get it organized, Nova Scotia, Bob Renner, etc. And eventually, we're going to bring back our freedom.
Boy, it sounds like you've got a team lined up around the country already, Jesse.
Ontario's doing great. C3, Doug Dubois, most people after a couple of videos understand it. We're making the videos very clear and very professional.
Right, and
Dan Dubois.
Yeah, exactly, because like I said, it's really hard. You know, the way I see Canadians, it's really hard for them to even start looking at something like this when they're still inside the matrix. They've learned all their life that they vote left, they vote right. The conservatives fix it, the liberals fix it, the conservatives. It's never going to change, folks, until we actually take back
the power.
We have the power. Well, I understand that.
For 50 years, you keep voting, and you vote for the con jobs, you vote for the liars, you vote for the communist NDP, and you vote for the fake Green Party that pushes out global warming.
Exactly.
There's no global warming. Scam. We've got to change it.
Well, next they're going to come up with a tax on breeding, so that's just around the corner.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me on the show. And, Craig, good luck. We'll be in contact, Craig.
Thanks, Jesse. Exactly. Thanks for having me. Yeah, been a pleasure. Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining today, guys. Been an interesting show, and it was some information I wanted to brought forward. So thank you again, and thanks to my guest, the first hour, and thanks again to Steve. and for Geeks Internet Radio for providing me this platform to share some ideas and thoughts. Love being here. Love talking. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I didn't get a lot of time to talk today, but that's all good. Sometimes it's really good to hear what my guests have to say. You guys have a great week, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I've got Mr. Rick Simpson joining me next week, and I really look forward to my conversation with him. See you next week, guys. Have a great week. God bless you all, and bye.